There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Welcome to Guys We Fuck,
the anti-slut shaming podcast.
No, you haven't said.
I'm Christina Hutchins.
I'm Corinne Fisher.
And I'm your boyfriend. Bring us your slutty, your horny, and your shame.
Hey, you a slut?
Yes.
Okay.
Let's talk about fucking.
Hey, fuckers, what up? How you doing? Welcome to another episode of Guys We Fucked.
It's the anti-slut shaming podcast. I'm Corinne Fisher.
I'm Christina Hutchinson.
Welcome to the show. We'd stop right there. Have you watched?
Thank you very much.
Our special day on
YouTube. You didn't yet?
YouTube.
Oh, fuck you.
Wow.
Can you do it?
We're going to have a moment of silence for what a dumb bitch you are.
Oh.
That wasn't silence.
It's silence coming.
Shut up, Mike.
That's not silence. Wait.
Okay. And we're back. Okay. So I hope you fucking watched the special in that dumb bitch silence moment that we provided for you.
Literally free. You're going to go to youtube.com/guyswefucked without the U in fucked. Thank you for all the comments you guys have been leaving. Subscribe to the channel. Like it. Listen, we heard you when you said you didn't want to pay for shit. Okay. Some people, listen, we think that the content we put out behind the paywall on Luminary is incredible.
It is.
But we also know that everyone is not in a position that they can pay for stuff.
That's true.
So we put out free stuff.
Yep.
And then so
for
if you still haven't watched the free stuff,
I don't know what to tell you.
Then
you're putting your finger in the flame and you're going, why is it burning?
Right. So
you gotta take it out of the flame when you watch our special.
When you want everything for free, you gotta do stuff like and subscribe that costs no money, it doesn't affect your life
and
in
it really
any way.
Helps us.
You know, the bare minimum.
Exactly.
Yeah, let's just chastise all y'all. It at the top of the show.
But it really does help. That's the thing. So it's just like, okay, so you want art for free. Don't agree with that, but that's fine. We'll give it to you. But then you got to do something else.
Yeah.
You got to do something else.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
it. A follow,
like,
a like.
Subscribe. Smash that subscribe
share it on
button.
A story. Yeah.
Yeah.
These are all things that you can do that are very helpful and we appreciate.
Abso-fucking-lutely. And if you're a Luminary subscriber, you know you get 2 extra episodes of Guys We Fucked a month in addition to getting the episodes right when they come out instead of 7 days after. So we appreciate you all, you Luminary subscribers. And if you're not one yet, you could subscribe to the Luminary channel on Apple Podcasts.
And you also don't get any ads, which which is weird because we're not doing the ad reads right now, but there are ads on the show.
So our flow gonna be interrupted by do you need stamps or whatever,
and it's not even us reading the ads, so
yeah,
they're not excited.
Yep, that sucks. Canned.
They're canned ads.
You need a fucking stamp.
Yeah,
go get a stamp. I actually love stamps. And if you're a musician and you have music that you'd be interested in submitting to be featured on Guys We Fucked, please email Mike Big Don Coscarelli at gwfpodcastmusic@gmail.com. Did you like that nickname?
I love it.
All right. So do the ladies.
Like, if I don't include it in the description, he'll be like, oh, did you forget?
My dick is small?
Because sometimes I like to change it up. You know, right. You can't have the same thing
forever. Yeah, you're a very colorful writer. Yeah. Use different words.
It's pretty amazing how many weeks you've been able to figure out a new way to tell them.
I do enjoy reading your description.
I love a thesaurus.
Appreciated every single incarnation of the big cock nickname.
That's what friends are for, Mike. Jersey Strong.
Jersey Strong.
Jersey Strong.
All right. So if you want to send us an email, it's sorryaboutlastnightshow@gmail.com. Make that subject line specific so we know what you're going to complain to us about.
Yeah, baby.
This is, I broke up with my toxic ex. Yay. And now I'm no longer sexually attracted to men.
Okay, that'll do it.
There's always one guy that can put you over the edge. Hi, Corinne and Christina.
There is, man.
I feel like
there so is that guy that you're like, I swear to God, I'm never having a dick in my mouth again.
I feel like you are born gay, except for, with the exception of a few straight women who are
bitter,
turned gay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really do. Because I know some people that
I'll be gay out of spite.
That I was like, I think you were turned gay. You know?
Yeah.
They're in my head right now.
People
and I think
gay
they will
for
agree.
Spite. People are good at convincing themselves of any truth.
Yeah.
So that one, yeah. Women can convince themselves they're in love with people that they're not. Come on.
Hi, Gurren and Christina. It's been inspiring to see you both evolve and grow over the years. Your
Thanks,
podcast.
It hurts.
Mine's been backwards. Your podcast has helped me and many others navigate sex, love, business, and life on many occasions. Here's my problem. I recently finally cut things off with my emotionally abusive, narcissistic ex after a long, messy breakup that lasted for about 2 months. That's a short breakup. I feel empowered and I'm working through residual trauma from the relationship in therapy.
Awesome.
I am open to dating again, but I feel like I have completely lost my attraction to men. Guys that I've come in contact with since the breakup that I normally would feel attracted to, I feel absolutely nothing towards. If anything, I'm slightly repulsed.
Yeah, that happens, girl. That happens after you get a bad one, man.
Oh, gosh. It's like where you get food poisoning from a food and then you can never eat
right.
that food again.
Or if that whatever alcohol you drank in college that made you projectile vomit
right.
is the one you can't drink anymore.
Yes.
Gin.
Men for me.
Rum for me.
Tequila for me.
Nice.
Straight men smell like tequila. It's to a point where I think I might want to explore dating women, but quite honestly, I don't know how I would begin exploring that. What? Pretty easy.
Yeah.
I feel go like this to a lady.
Hi. Can I explore my sexuality with you, perhaps?
Yeah, I feel pretty disconnected from my sexuality because I was relentlessly slut-shamed during my relationship and broken down emotionally and mentally.
Oh, you got to build yourself back up.
Yeah, there are so many things that fulfill me in life. Dating, sex, relationships are not at the top of the list.
Okay.
However, I do crave attention.
connection.
Oh, connection. I literally read that as attention. I do literally look like attention.
Why you pulled
to
me.
However,
you pulled me.
I do. Well, because that's what I was like, why? Because in my head, I was like, what the fuck would you possibly need then out of these things?
Right.
However, I do crave connection and feel like the longer I go without seeking it out, the more isolated and sexless I become.
Don't be isolated.
I would love your insight into this feeling. Have you ever felt similarly? How would you navigate finding attraction and connection after a bad breakup? I appreciate you taking the time to read anonymous.
You got to take some time, girl. Don't force yourself to date. You should have connections with your friends. Have meaningful friendship connections and work on those connections and do nice things for each other. Take each other out. Go do activities. Like, date your friends. That's what I did. It's fun.
I think it's smart of you to identify the fact that dating, sex, and relationships are not at the top of the list of things that fulfill you. I think especially for straight women, we are considered weird or strange if finding a partner is not one of the main things that we want to achieve in our lifetime. And I know this firsthand because I feel in the same way. And I think it even took me so long to realize that it's just not a, like, why am I failing at this thing? Like, I'm not a failure. I'm not a failure. I'm good at anything I do. But I wasn't, was feeling at relationships, and it's because I just don't care enough. And I think that's like a very...
That feels bad.
It's a weird thing to voice. And it's especially as a woman, especially as a person who this is my career. Do I know what to do? Yes. Can I tell you what to do to make it work? Yeah. But I mean, you know, the number one thing you hear people talk about with a successful relationship is compromise. And I'm not willing to compromise to have some dick living in my house. You know, literally and figuratively.
Speak for yourself, Korean. No, it's good. That's good.
And so I think that number one, recognizing that is great. And so then I think you need to like kind of flip in your mind why you're dating. Most people are dating with a goal. They either want a long-term partner, they want to get married, they want to start a family, they want to have kids, these kind of things. So as soon as I started flipping, why am I dating? Am I literally just dating for the experience, to have someone to experience life with at certain periods in my life, not consecutively? I don't think I could handle that because I don't want to be convicted of murder.
Smart.
And then so when you flip that, there's a lot less pressure on you in the relationship and you're able to enjoy it more. Again, obviously everyone's experience is different, but that's what I was going through for a while. To jump to the point that you are now want to explore dating women, I mean, you very well might be bisexual. Maybe you're bi-curious just right now. I don't know, but I'm not necessarily sure the reason you are repulsed by men is because you are attracted
lesbian,
to women.
Or, yeah,
I don't know that that's the reason. It doesn't feel like the reason in here. I think it's just like, I think you feel like something's wrong with you because you're not attracted to these people that you're usually attracted to, when in reality, you're probably just going through some kind of a change. Maybe you're not attracted. You said you're not attracted to the people that you're usually attracted to. Maybe this guy was part of the same of like your type, in quotes. And you finally were pushed to the edge by this type of guy because this type of guy is toxic and sucks and is bad for you, and maybe you're just growing. And so maybe it's time, well, number one, take a little pause, but then after you take that pause, start dating, like make a concerted effort to date a different type of man. Like, do that. Even if you're not like, you can't be repulsed by the guy to go on a date with him, but just like, not
just
your normal type of guy. I think it will really open up
your
eyes.
It can't hurt.
Dating a different type of guy makes all the difference. And I've done it. And like, am I finding like, you know, is my life changing? No, but it's altering slightly. And that's what you look for. I think because of like movies and, you know, media,
we think
like changes are going to be wild when they happen, and they're not. They're slight, and you have to open your eyes and notice them. That's the same with like all this woo-woo stuff. You know, you go to a psychic, you read your tarot, all these things. In the cards, it looks like it will be a drastic change. It is not. That's not how the world works. So if you're getting the whatever, the death card or whatever, it will be a relatively slight change,
a new beginning
in your life. It will. It's not like your whole, you know, it's not like your whole family is gonna die, like, because that's how it reads. But that's not what's gonna happen.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll happen to someone, but I mean, I'm guessing not you. So that's that. And then, I mean, how I felt similarly. Yeah. I not because I like to take long breaks after breakups. Those feeling you're describing right now is also similar to how I feel during grief. Like, I don't feel like having sex with anybody right now. I don't. It's definitely hard to explain to your boyfriend that you don't want to fuck him. People definitely take it personally. That's a whole other thing that, you know, people need to understand grief better. There's many reasons why you could feel disconnected from your sexuality, and certainly being emotionally abused is one of them.
You gotta give yourself time to recover from emotional abuse and also to grieve the part of you that, for me to come to terms with, and I'm thinking more about a parent relationship than an ex-boyfriend with the emotional abuse and the narcissistic stuff. But once you realize it and you're like, oh, fuck, it's just jarring that you stayed in the relationship for as long as you did. And if that's a feeling that you're experiencing, or perhaps for me, it was that I was alarmed that I didn't see it. I know why I didn't see it, because I was raised by it, but it was still alarming because I consider myself to be a pretty intelligent person. So my self-efficacy had to, you know, be recalibrated. And just make sure you're not getting into a relationship to fill a void of sadness, because that's gotta, if you're looking for another person to fill something in you that isn't your holes sexually, it's not a recipe for something long-term, because that's too much to put on a person.
So, yeah.
And a lot of times, sometimes when you're recovering from an ex that was abusive, I imagine, you know, falling into the arms of another, you're more vulnerable to, you know, in that area at the moment, because you're maybe a little tender, but you got to love yourself.
Yeah, and like listen to people when they tell you who you are at the very beginning of the relationship. We say that time and time again. It's not new news. It's not unique to the Guys We Fuck podcast, but it is goddamn true. And then the last part of your question was, you don't know how to begin exploring relationships with women. Just go on
dating
Hinge
app
and set your app to men and women. There you go. I figured that out for
you. Yeah, and then in the bio, just say I'm curious.
Yeah, and I'm
bi-curious. As long as that will, that will alleviate anybody. That will alleviate you getting into a situation where you don't really know what the deal is with your sexuality. Just say bi-curious right off the bat.
Also, lesbians love bi-curious people. They think they can turn you.
Yeah, that's a kink. So maybe you like to be on the receiving end of that kink.
It's amazing. And I think like as a straight woman, it feels like very like comfortable. Like if I went out with a girl, I wouldn't be as nervous because it's like you are also a girl.
Yeah,
I
went out with a girl. I sent a dating app profile to girls a while ago, but I did this. It was really fun, and it felt very comfortable. It was nerve wracking because I was like, I don't know what I'm doing, but you just go with the flow. Dating is nerve wracking, so it's fine as long as you're being honest about where you're at in your life. You can't, you know, and just, you know, operate out of fear, not love. There you go.
Operate out of fear?
Or operate out of love, not fear. Wow.
I was
wow.
like, what?
My brain turned off.
I was about
today.
To say, Christina, whatever book that you read that in, I'm going to have to take that away.
Well, veto. It's that self-help book.
I'm going to have to step
no,
in.
No, every action or thought is either coming from a place of love or fear. And make sure it's coming from a place of love.
Oh, okay.
That's what I mean. Here Thanks for correcting that. No. We're all fucked up today.
I was very nervous.
Reading the wrong words. I'm fucking saying shit backwards. But, you know, we're here.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Getting stuff off your chest is incredible. It's so therapeutic. We all carry around different stressors. Some of them are big, some of them are small, a lot of them are very big. But we keep them bottled up and it could start affecting us negatively. And then we act like a jerk to the people we love. And we're like, this is not how I want to be. Therapy has saved my life personally. There are so many benefits of it. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. And it isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. Although if you have experienced major trauma, highly recommend. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designated to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a questionnaire and you get matched with a licensed therapist, and you could switch at any time. Finding a therapist is like dating. They're not all going to work out in the first try. BetterHelp understands that. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/guys to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/guys. Guys, the weather's getting warmer. It's time to say goodbye to your jackets and all your sweaters, and you got to refresh your wardrobe. Well, luckily, I found Quince, and now you have too, because you're listening to this. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And if you go to their website, the amount of categories, they have travel, lookbooks, men, women, home, babies, and kids. Their stuff is so cute. So I own a couple items from Quince, and one of them is the Italian leather hand-woven crossbody purse in green, emerald, and I get compliments on it all the time. It's a small purse, which I really love because then I don't put as many things in it. Guys, Quince is amazing. They have very luxury items for very cheap prices. Get warm weather ready, baby, with Quince. Go to quince.com/GWF for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/GWF to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/GWF.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
And come see us live. If you live in London, I'm going to be at the Leicester Square Theatre May 12th. Dublin, Ireland at the Sugarland Club May 13th. And as always, you can listen to my solo podcast, The Voices in Our Heads, on iTunes or the latest episodes on patreon.com/Christina Hutchinson.
Fort Collins, Colorado. I will be in you April 15th and 16th for four shows at the Comedy Fort. It's about an hour outside Denver for you Denver folks. I'm sure you know that if you live in the area. But Fort Collins looks like a cool town. I'm ready to be cool and saunter around Fort Collins. I love Colorado. I literally could go over there for no reason at all. And, you know, one day I will. But anyway,
wouldn't that be fun?
For now, it's Fort Collins, Colorado, April 15th and 16th at the Comedy Fort. The link is in my Linktree URL in my Instagram bio, which is at philanthropygal, or you can just go to the Comedy Fort website. Whatever. You'll find out how to get a ticket. You're a smart person. You know how to use the internet. And then Without a Country podcast, man, if you want to hear about Ukraine and Russia, but like with some jokey jokes, tune in every Saturday, wherever you listen to podcasts, including full video on YouTube. It's me. It's Shane Smith. He's the one with the tattoos on his face. You'll know him. A lot of you guys.
One's a sword.
A lot of people try to go through me to hit on Shane or ask him on a date.
Don't do that. Do it through him.
Literally not going to do that. I literally dated him myself.
Why would you ask her in that?
Wildly inappropriate.
Why would you ask her that?
So wildly what inappropriate.
People ask you things. I'm like, what did you think she was going to say?
Our listeners are wild.
Not even other comics. When she tells me about the things that people say to her, I'm like
people we know?
Yeah, that know her. Mm-hmm. Well, know in quotes.
Right. Sure.
I couldn't have like a thicker boundary up or yeah. a sturdier wall. And I don't want to do that for you.
Yeah. Just so you know, if you don't know, now you know.
Also, he's not available.
Follow us on TikTok too. At Guys We Fucked, without the U and Fucked. That's our social media handle across the board, including YouTube, where you've already watched and commented on that special, eh? How are you, Corinne?
I'm okay. I have an update from when we were in LA.
Oh, you do?
So first there was Stephen Jenkins.
Oh, wait. Who is next?
And what? Now what?
Is it Johnny Resnick with his marmalade face?
No.
No. Please say no.
And now in my DMs.
Yes, girl!
It's David Spade.
Yeah. Yes!
This was a long time coming, everybody.
You were on Spade months ago.
Well, it was so... Okay, so we knew that...
Actually, Mike, 3 days ago.
Oh.
Well, so we knew that there was a special guest on our show at the Improv in LA because...
Okay, he's so hot.
It was listed, but then we didn't know who it was. So when we got there, I asked the club booker who it was, and she was like, David Spade, and I was like, nice.
Okay, I'll handle this.
Miss Christina and I, we made a David Spade sandwich because it was David Spade, Christina on the lineup.
All three of us crushed.
And it was a great show. And I didn't realize this, but the woman who's working on us, shout out Kristen, on the Fox show, she was at that show watching us as well. And she saw David Spade. I know she saw him watching your set, but he was sitting in the audience the whole time. I didn't know that. And so he DM'd me and he was like, great set.
Nice.
And he said, I tried to give you a fist bump on your way back to the green room, but you scampered, which is true. He said you scampered up the staircase. And it's funny because this is the second time David Spade has watched my set, and I didn't know that he was watching my set. And I was like, God damn. But this time, though, I was very proud of myself. I didn't talk about wanting to bone him. I also couldn't this time because the audience didn't yet know that he was the surprise guest. And so I would have ruined it. I mean, I suppose I could have vaguely said, man, I really want to fuck that surprise guest. But
yeah.
You know,
that would have been fun. But yeah.
But like, I feel like
2020.
I was on my best behavior because I was doing a, you know, showcase spot at a club that is not my home club.
Yeah.
Whereas in Salt Lake City, I was headlining the show, so I could literally do whatever the fuck I wanted. There's it's a different...
More leeway.
Yeah.
We were a guest at their house.
Yeah. So you know? I wanted to be on my better behavior. My better behavior is still like,
It's pretty good.
But yeah, and so I...
What do you say?
I mean, I'm not going to read the whole thing on here. It's not like sexual or anything.
Damn it.
But it's definitely like...
It's recognition.
Well, I mean, listen, as the saying goes, no grown man wants to be your friend. So people aren't just like fucking...
And Stephen Jenkins don't want to be my friend. David Spade don't want to be your friend. Like, so that must mean they want to fuck us.
And David Spade gets some of the hottest women in the game. Mm-hmm. So...
And he's about to get...
Listen
or talk to
and now he's
Corinne
about
Fisher.
To get one of the funniest and
beautiful.
You know, and you know what?
Beautiful.
Sometimes you need
a symmetrical face.
Sometimes you need to take a break from pretty.
He's about to switch it up.
Sometimes you say, I'm sick of dating models.
Yeah.
How about a funny girl?
Yeah.
How about a funny lady?
Yeah.
But we see that happening.
Yeah.
And then, and by no means do I think I'm unattractive, but by an LA model standard, right. I'm a piece of doo-doo on the ground. And I don't give a shit. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
A piece of doo-doo on the ground.
It's kind of like, you know, it's like when, and this is no shade to her because she's amazing, but this is when Jenny Slate dated
That hawk. Oh, yeah.
Chris Helms?
Yeah, I think so.
Helmsworth?
Wait.
What the fuck's name?
No,
there's a couple white dudes who all look like Channing Tatum, and I can't remember who is who.
Ex-boyfriend.
Hold, please.
Actor.
Yeah, hold on.
Hold on. Jenny Slate. Chris Evans.
Chris Evans.
Yes.
Get the fuck out of here. Wait a minute. Jenny Slate dated Chris Evans?
Okay, let me tell you something.
Captain America?
Let me tell you something. My taste in women, Jenny Slate is one of the top people. I would date the shit out of Jenny Slate. I have such a crush
on
her.
And so did Chris Evans for a second.
Yeah. And so, yes.
Until he was like, I want to go back to models.
So he said, I'm a superhero.
You're fucking lost, Chris, because Jenny Slate will entertain you in your 80s. Will a model? Perhaps, but I can't guarantee that, but I can guarantee that with Jenny.
Everyone has a funny woman moment.
Skin becomes crepes.
Okay.
Eventually, no matter what your occupation.
Bobby Flay did it.
50s, dated a model 50s, or regular?
No, funny person.
Yay!
50 Cent did it. Everyone is in did the mood for up? A funny lady.
Did it work out though?
No, of course not.
Okay, well.
Everybody gives it a shot and they say, that's not for me.
And
they
you know what?
Too much talking.
We're here if you want that shot. Stephen Jenkins, David Spade.
Well, David Spade, I want you to know that I am a very quiet, funny person. Okay? I think that's really one of my selling points. When I'm not on air, when I'm in the home, you don't even know I'm there.
It's pretty cool. So you could talk and you can go online, check your stocks.
David, you need to do.
Yeah.
Okay?
You got a big house. There's room.
I'm not going to overly support you, but I'm also not going to bother you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So,
right. And perhaps she'll challenge you in a way that the models won't.
I'll challenge you in a way that it makes it harder for you to get in nightclubs because I'm your plus one.
Possibly. Or, you know, maybe she'll give you shit when you're being mean. You know, and she'll say, David Spade, I know we're in your house, but you can't talk to me like that. Sorry, I'm not a model. I stand up for myself.
Corinne's pitch is a lifestyle downgrade.
Or upgrade mentally with the gymnastics you'll have to do.
Oh, we're going to Sugarfish? You're going to have to order 2 boxes for me.
Not used to that, huh? But you have the funds.
Let's
it's fine.
Give that SNL money and a workout. Yeah.
See, this is why Corinne, you have a higher chance of dating somebody famous than I do because she seals the deal, man. She just goes after it.
Unbelievable.
Stephen Jenkins flirts with me and I go, what do I say? Somebody type something to him. And then
God.
I just send an emoji and it doesn't go anywhere, but he still looks at my stories. So, don't
funny.
Think I don't see that.
Oh my God.
Woo! Oh man.
I think it would be
would be a good couple. I think it would be you would be a good couple because you would both get something out of it that you haven't gotten before. You would actually date somebody who's doing well. That's pretty cool. And then he would date someone who doesn't let him get away with stuff. Assuming that models let you get away with stuff.
Which is what every man wants.
He'd get a quote.
Not getting away with things.
In a funny way. In a funny way. Excuse me, I wasn't done, Michael. In a funny way. It'll make your life more joyful.
He'd get a core workout as I'm on top of him. He'd be like trying to lift his,
that's not
his pelvis. I never had so much weight on this area before during sex.
Is this what a real woman feels like? Yes, it is, David Spade. Yes, it is, actually. Fancy of you to notice.
He's like, I'm gonna need a Hollywood minute to get this bitch off me.
Take the time you need.
All right.
Get a lower bed.
Oh,
you know?
God.
Okay, we're having fun.
We have a good time.
We had a good time.
Woo. All right.
It was just a quick back and forth.
Yeah, but like there was, I gave him a lot of outs to stop talking to me, and then kept talking to me.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So that was nice. You know? When I like do it, I'm like, I let him out of it. I go, if you wanted to stop this conversation.
And then he did.
And then he kept talking.
Oh, okay. That's fun.
Yeah. And then he said he thought he ruined me and you going back to back. And I said, no, we don't necessarily like doing that anyway.
Yeah. No, it was good. That was good to break it up.
Yeah. He didn't need to DM me. That was very nice of him.
Don't worry, David Spade. We'll make a David Spade sandwich anytime.
What a handsome, rugged fellow. Well, yeah, he has a podcast that's doing really well right now. Because
can we be on it?
Dana Carvey. Him and Dana Carvey
have a podcast that's at the top of the charts.
Whoa. Yeah. Well, those are two. Wow. If you dated David Spade, you'd hang out with Dana. Wow. You'd hang out with a lot of cool people, too.
Yeah.
You really would. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you're just hanging out with Adam Sandler and Dana Carvey on the regular.
David Spade, like, out of people who I would want to date.
He's sexy. That's a sexy motherfucker.
Yeah. David Spade.
Cavalier.
I mean, the only other person from SNL male cast member that I would be interested in dating is dead, because it was Norm Macdonald.
Because
I like a cunty.
Yeah.
I like a cunty male sense of humor. Like, David Spade, even as a high schooler, I thought his cuntiness was so fucking hilarious.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
And he also has that, like, you know, I love pop culture, so he has this knowledge of pop culture like a male Kathy Griffin.
That he does? Right. I didn't know that.
That's literally that's what he did on SNL, remember? He did, his whole thing was Hollywood related.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Where he was kind of like the original Perez Hilton.
Right, yeah. Right, mm-hmm. Right, right.
But it's so funny when a straight man does it. Yeah.
It just doesn't compute almost.
That's a good segment idea, though. Which SNL cast member would you like to date most?
Yeah. Well,
you know?
Cecily Strong, to be honest.
You?
Yeah.
It's a woman?
Yeah.
She's beautiful.
I have such a crush on her, and I saw her in a Search for Intelligent Life in the Universe. And I've had a crush on her forever. So
Tina Fey.
I'm not even gonna say it's a girl crush. It's a fucking crush. Oh wait, and Maya Rudolph. Oh,
Maya Rudolph.
Could you imagine?
Yeah.
That would be the funnest life in the world to date her.
Tina Fey, I've always had a big crush on Tina Fey.
Oh yeah, sure.
I love Tina Fey.
And of course, Adam Sandler. I forgot.
Yeah.
He's like such a movie star now. No offense, Steven Spade.
Hey, that Missy movie was good. I didn't see it,
but
it
was good.
Hey man, Joe Dirt is hilarious.
Yeah.
I mean, my dad loved Joe Dirt.
Aww.
But Adam Sandler too. But Adam Sandler's married for a long time.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
But man, like, when you are attracted to someone, even when they're all, and I can say this, Jewed up and uncut gems, you're like, damn,
still hot.
It's a type. Hey, it's a type. It's like when women say they're into Tony Soprano. Same type of thing.
Yeah.
Similar type of thing.
My dad.
All right.
Cool. That's cool.
Yeah, so that was good. I guess it just gets so wildly excited when celebrities DM us.
It's the coolest thing ever because it's symbolic of so much.
Yeah.
And one of them is that we're doing really well, and then it's like, oh my God, like, famous people, like, look at what we're doing. And if they don't, then what's the point of life, you know?
Yeah.
Just kidding.
And I'm sure us tagging them excessively.
100%. Yeah, it's making it worse. Yeah. I ain't doing myself any favors.
Look over here.
I'm not saying I'm going to be cool when you reach out to me.
Look over here.
I'm going to be a loser, and I'm going to get so giddy that I'm not going to be able to respond in anything that's going to make you want to respond.
Oh God. No one likes when you act cool when a celebrity reaches out.
I don't act cool at all.
If I was a big time celebrity and I reached out to someone and they gave me a cool response, I'd be like,
fuck you.
Who's the celebrity here?
Because then it's just battle of the egos. That's not going to go anywhere.
Yeah,
that's not good sex. But you know who's a good guest? The one you're about to hear.
Nice.
He is a stand-up comedian, and his new special, The Coward of Gramercy, is out now for you to watch. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Andy Haynes.
At the time, it felt easier to let you go. Now I know that it was only going to hurt us both. Wish I could go back in time and change it, but I can't. That night when we watched our favorite band and cried, cause we knew that it was almost time to say goodbye. Went home, couldn't sleep, stayed up all night. Told my therapist about you, tried to explain all we've been through. Tried to work on self-care, I guess it's more than just dyeing your hair. But you still show up in my dreams. I'm wasting sleep on hypothetically. Caught between that and reality. Is this just a way of messing with me? Oh, you still show up in my dreams. It's like you're living in my head rent free. Do I ever cross your mind? Do you ever think about party with your new girlfriend? She was saying all the things that I never said. Hard to realize what you have till it's gone. Hate that we're back to being strangers again. This wasn't how it worked out all in my head, but I never.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
We are here with stand-up comedian, writer, and meditation voiceover artist Andy Haynes. How
wow. are you? Good. Thank you for having me.
Give you a new occupation.
Yeah. So you're married to a friend.
I know. I was like, let's get this right out of the way. Andy is married to Rosebud, but that's where the last we're going to talk about it.
Person,
because you're your own person, and thank I'm you. Actually excited for this opportunity because I don't know you super well. You made a nice effort to say hi to me in green rooms after mm-hmm. you nice. And Rosebud got together.
It's a good friend move.
I appreciate that.
Yeah,
but yeah, I want to get to know more about like all I know is that Andy? You also. Are in recovery.
Yeah.
And I'm just laughing because I kind of always like to know the story of like what the fuck happened.
I mean, mine was like it was kind of normal. I was like just a very bad drunk when I was like 20. Like
oh,
I got arrested like 6 times.
Were you still Whoa. Living in Seattle?
Yeah. Well, I lived in Lake Tahoe for 2 years and got in some trouble there. And
what kind of trouble?
Well,
don't He's gloss like, over the
cases
fun.
Cases are still pending.
I was very, it was like very Mr. Magoo Uh-oh. Type blackout where I would wake up places, mainly jails.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Were you mean when you were drunk?
Sometimes.
Okay.
The first time it got bad, I was at a cabin in the woods and then my friends and I were like drinking. We ran out of alcohol and I was like, I'm going to get the alcohol.
Wow.
So I got in my mom's minivan.
Uh-oh.
And I mean, we're like in the middle of the mountains and I had drank like an entire fifth of Absolut.
Holy fuck.
And I woke up going like 80 miles an hour on the freeway in my mom's minivan. And I flipped, like I tried to take the exit because that's when I woke up. I was like, there's the exit. And then I flipped it going, you know, just into a patch of trees, like oh, flying minivan, crap. Climbed out, hitchhiked to the store to buy the alcohol still. Oh, and that's where I got arrested.
That's like fucking
and
resilience.
Were you like, maybe I should reexamine?
I mean, I definitely was like, this is bad. but I also was like, you know, boys will be boys.
Oh, man. So you guys do internalize that in like a.
Oh, yeah.
You let
sure.
yourself get away with
I
stuff.
I think this is the problem with like there's two kinds of boys that are raised by single moms. There's the kind of boy that is like hypersexual and he's like fucking the neighbor at 17.
Okay.
You know, he just understands women.
Boys. Yeah.
He
yes.
usually sells Understand. Weed out of like a Honda Civic.
Yes. Yes.
And then there's the other ones that are like, I have to be a man, but I have no idea what that means.
I don't
so
know.
So they're
how.
Like, I'll break bottles over my head. I'll yeah. shave lines into my mullet.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I'll crash
and I'll drink.
Minivans.
Yeah. So you were two. Yeah. You were choice two.
I was choice two.
Okay.
So you were raised by a single mother and now we're blaming her for the. No,
yeah. Everything. It's always the woman's fault.
Everything.
Well, that's. Yeah. It's always the woman's fault.
My dad wasn't gone. He just moved to the East Coast.
Oh.
So I
did you call him?
Did he call you? It's his job to call
Sent
you.
Child
support. Oh, so it's, so they just got divorced and they separated and lived different. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, he just had to move to the East Coast because he was like a corporate shill.
Some people drink alcohol and like get energized by it. Was that the kind of drunk you were?
Because I was 100%.
I don't even know that I'm capable of being an alcoholic because I would either throw up or sleep before I would have a chance to get drunk. Like,
I mean, I was talking to a sober friend the other day about this. I had no interest in chilling out. I had no interest. I was Red Bulls and vodkas and like rage.
What were you running from?
Oh God, everything. Jesus Christ. Yeah. I was so afraid.
We get started right away on this podcast.
Sorry. Yeah. No,
I have no boundaries.
Me either. You that's the problem.
You're in the Switzerland of boundaries.
We were just talking about Switzerland.
Yeah.
But were there gaps or holes in how you were raised in that? Like, did you not get what you needed from your mom or?
My mom was severely depressed from the time I was born. I'm actually
That's hard.
Working on this in therapy now.
Yeah.
Because the whole thing is they like want you to be mad about it and they want you to like process that anger. But she's always been such a tragic figure for me. I love my mom. She's a very great person. She's done some amazing things, very supportive in ways. But when I was a kid, she was so broken up over my parents' divorce.
Oh, okay.
And so depressed.
That's also a specific type of single mom. And I know some sons of single moms like that. And I feel like that really like affects you.
Yeah. If your parent doesn't know how to get what they need, how are they going to fucking raise a human?
Yeah. She just hated herself so much. And then also she still to this day has this thing where she doesn't want me to like she kind of. Saps ambition because she's like, why would you leave? Why would you?
Yeah.
I had tickets to like a backstage concert in Seattle the last time I was visiting. And I was like, all right, well, I'm going to go to this concert. And it was like a 45-minute drive. And she was like, well, have fun in traffic. And I was like,
yeah.
It's a good thing.
That's also such a mom response.
Why would you enjoy this concert outdoors with backstage passes? You'll have to sit in traffic.
But it didn't stop you from going to the concert, did it?
I think I didn't go because I just got lazy. But it wasn't. I don't let her stop me.
That was what I was most concerned about.
Yeah. Did you ever let her stop you from doing stuff and then not realize it? Or have you always been pretty aware?
Only internally. Just everything I internalized, which is so much.
Yeah, I know. And that shit, it resonates. Like you plant a seed of like, oh, this is going to come up at some point in my adult life.
And I also, I have this thing where I react. I feel like this is going to sound sexist, but I think I react in a very female way. You know what I mean? Like I get very like...
You start crying?
No, I have a little bit of stoicism just because I can't access stuff. But like when I'm insecure, I start kind of doing the have fun. You know, if you meet any boys, I totally understand. You know.
Right. Okay. Well, like that makes passive. Sense. I mean, because even like it's not sexist at all because anyone is responding with like a feminine or a masculine energy. That doesn't it's just feminine. It's not like girly, you know?
You know, you guys know my wife, so I've definitely assumed many of the female aspects of the relationship.
right.
And that makes sense. And that's, I think, a lot of times, especially with female comedians, because I definitely, like, Mike before was, I don't know if this was a compliment or an insult, but he was basically like, when I give advice to listeners, I can always tap into the, you know, stereotypical male perspective. And I'm like, I don't know that that's a good thing that I fucking think like a man. Like that's a kind of a toxic curse, it seems. But
it was meant as a compliment.
I know. Good for this show, probably bad for my personal life. But because of the nature of this business and how aggressive you need to be to succeed.
Yeah.
Like I do, and especially for women, I just feel like a lot of female comedians are unmarried because we're more masculine than every guy we meet, but a lot of us want someone to out masculine us.
Yeah.
And it's like, how the fuck do you find that?
Well, I think that's why so many
you meet a tough lady.
Yeah, so many female comics date like, you know, UFC fighters and things like that.
Oh,
like,
that was a good option.
Yeah, I would date a fighter.
Yeah.
So what was your rock bottom with alcohol? Did you have one?
Well, I definitely like had like a 18 to 22 where it was really bad. And then I kind of quit and I would dabble. And I just dabbled for like the next 7 years.
Oh, and so you were successfully dabbling.
Yeah. Like I didn't really like I cheated on somebody that was very like I had a ton of guilt, like so much guilt that I had nightmares. And
Wow. Wait, can we go get into that? That's interesting.
Yeah. I don't know if she knows I cheated on her. Okay. But well, she also married a movie star. So she's okay.
Wow. Yeah. Oh my God. So she's fine.
Yeah. I don't think she's worried about her loser boyfriend cheating on her. They have a kid and they go to like Torino every summer.
Wow. Yeah.
So it was a significant long-term relationship.
3 years.
Oh yeah. Okay, so yes. Yeah.
But wait, it was like,
did you care about the person that you cheated on her with or was it just like a rando?
Yeah. I mean, it was like one of those things where I knew it wasn't really going to work out.
Okay.
We'd moved here together on a whim. Like I was moving and then she was like, I want to come. And then.
Can I come?
Yeah. And then it was like, it was just like, I was like a young comic in the city. I wanted nothing. I wanted no.
You didn't actually want her to be along with you for that?
I just wanted to never have an obligation. I wanted to like sit at the creek till 4 a.m. and go to this house party and go to that show. And all of her friends were like, let's have a dinner party. And they weren't comics. And
Yeah.
That is so, like, that's always a problem, especially in the beginning of the career when like the hang is like so fun and so necessary because I have the last thing. That's why I keep dating comics because I'm like, I just don't want anyone being like, where are you? I fucking hate when people ask where I am.
I mean, I've tried to date people with normal jobs. My last like serious girlfriend, I actually think I maybe talked to you about her like on the street in front of the
probably
fat
a
black.
Lot, a lot of comics will.
One of the guys we fuck girls is here. I need help.
What do I do?
Please help me.
Yeah.
But she was like a type A architect from Australia and, you know, just had like a very New York cool life. I was totally enamored with her. But I remember on Valentine's Day being like, oh, I have a show like after dinner.
Yeah.
You know? And she was like, what? And I was like, oh, I'm leaving. I'm going to
Yeah, it's like
go.
A big work night.
And every time, every single time somebody's not in comedy, they're like, just like, how could you even imagine leaving right now?
Right. Which I get. They just don't understand that night is specific, like very specifically is one of the biggest nights in comedy. Like that's, you know.
I mean, any night.
Yeah.
Any night for me, I'm just like, I would rather.
But you get paid extra. Like,
Yeah. But rock bottom wise, I mean, when I finally got sober, I got sober because I was smoking pot, like literally morning till night, just like nonstop. And I really wanted to stop. And I was like starting to have, I was writing on a sitcom and I had these, I'd be like sitting in the corner of the room with my head in my hands, trying to figure out a way to fake my own death.
Yeah, right.
I was like, I'll just disappear. I'll park my car. That on fantasy. A bluff, and then I'll walk to Mexico.
Yeah.
And I still, you know, imagine faking my own death.
Well, that's why it's illegal, because it's so fucking enticing. Yeah. Like a permanent vacation? Okay.
The French Foreign Legion, they'll take you even if you have
it's
warrants.
It's one of the best fantasies you could ever dabble in.
I like that you've done research
on it. I've already researched how to go to Ukraine and fight with the International Brigade.
Oh, that I would do that.
I researched how to go fight with the Kurds in Raqqa.
Wow, you really want to get away.
Yeah, you know, it's just don't deal with all this.
And yeah, I hear you.
And, you know,
just
get out
run
there.
Away.
It'll all be different, right?
Because that with along with the fantasy of faking your own death and like doing a new life is like every single problem you ever had or obligation disappears.
Yeah.
It's done.
I mean,
and you're still alive, so you can like be alive on Earth.
I still fantasize about like finding out that Rosebud is like, you know, fucking Oscar Isaac or something like that.
Oh, wow. He's hot.
Yeah. And I just am like, all right, well, then I'll just go to Crested Butte. I'll like work at this like store and I'll just like walk my dog in the snow. You know, I'll do like crafts, like man crafts.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
What's a man craft?
Fixing skis.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like fixing houses.
To repair.
I'm not enough of a man
carpentry
to know what the mancraft is.
Mancraft. Carpentry. Yeah.
I'll make belts. I don't know. Yeah. Is that what men do?
So wait, is your marriage the only thing that's keeping you from faking your own death?
Good question.
No. logic. You know, being a comic in New York is all of those things, like actually loving my life, but just, you know, having a hard day and you're just like, gotta be nice to just disappear.
Yeah. Right. We're in a society of instant gratification, you know, and it's, you know, the instant gratification of relief from our responsibilities can only be gotten when you fake your own death or you death your own death.
Yeah. Real death.
Yeah. Actual death.
Commit to your death.
Yeah. But stay alive, kids. It's great.
Yeah.
It'll get better and then it'll get worse. Well, how do you like Do you have this internal loneliness that you grapple with?
Yes, but I don't know if I, because I don't know if you guys are like this. I want to be alone
yeah.
a lot. Like yes. I want to like, I want to yes. just be in my house. Like there's no, if you guys have lived with a partner, there's nothing better than when your partner goes out of town.
It's the fucking best.
I haven't because oh I like that feeling all the time.
God. Yeah, yeah. No, I remember I when can't I, deal with that. I lived with a boyfriend for 6 years and it like, I loved it. At first it was fucking amazing, but oh my God, it got to be like him breathing, wanted to make mm-hmm. me want to kill him. Like I don't think human beings are meant to be that close.
No, yeah. I think me and Rosebud's marriage works because we both have to go on the road.
Yeah.
And like we get to spend 10 days away in hotel rooms.
Yeah.
You know.
That's vital to be separate from each other, I think, physically and in those ways.
Are there any things in the marriage that like surprised you, like being married? Wait, can I talk about your, you know, you were married before, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know.
You were?
I just remember
to another
that.
Comic.
You I just were? Remember that because I didn't know. Yeah, because, okay, say, so was, my question was going to be
you're
like,
a marriage guy.
Was there anything about marriage that surprised you that you weren't expecting? But I guess like, did you feel that when you were first married? Do you feel that now?
Is marriage
did
special?
Did anything change?
Well, I think I'm a serial monogamist because like if I fuck you and I wake up the next day and I like you and I don't feel shame, I'm like, we should probably get married.
Do you feel a lot of shame after you fuck people?
No, but like if I'm not attracted to the person, it's like kind of like wasn't something that I was really seeking out and then I did it just to kind of, you know, warm
yeah.
body.
Yeah.
but yeah, like I think the thing that surprised me the most is, well, with Rosebud, what's unique is she's just done so much work on like therapy and
right.
sobriety and things like that. Like that the fights that I used to be like, well, I'm fucking out of here. She's like, we're going to sit here and we're going to fucking talk this out. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
And just things that would have used to have been such big deals. Like, she caught me like Instagram flirting.
Okay.
Like I was Instagram flirting with somebody and I was
a real person or yes. like okay.
comment section, DM, what level?
DM.
Okay.
But it
okay.
wasn't like me like setting anything up. It was just like me like LOLing. You
yeah,
know?
Flirting. Yeah.
Just LOLing a little too much.
And she was like, what's this about? You know? And it wasn't like
how'd she see it?
Cause it was like open on okay. my phone or something like that. She didn't like go through my phone, but she saw it and she was like, what's this about? We're going to talk it out. And it was like, you know, I was just like, oh, I'm sorry. You were like, you've been like super busy. And I just ended up talking to this person at a show. And it was like, I'm an idiot, you know, like,
yeah.
but she didn't like rake me over the coals or anything like that. It was like very like, is this something you're interested in? Do you, you know, like, do I need to be concerned? And
right.
it wasn't like a big dramatic thing. And just her ability to just take something that like in my past would have been like, you know, completely
a blow up fight.
Yeah.
Cause it pokes at you. If it pokes at an insecurity that makes you like unable to communicate, then yeah, that's always when shit blows up.
It's yeah.
Your insecurities are dancing with each other.
And then I don't know, just like the ebb and flow of marriage. My last marriage was totally on a whim. We both weren't sober. We're both sober now, you know, so we can look back at it a lot.
Yeah. And that's like really speaks volumes. I think I know a lot of people who, when they weren't sober, had a kind of like very intense, as you say, on a whim relationship. Mm-hmm. How long were you married for the first time?
Well, technically, we were married for 2 years, but that was just like a court thing. We got divorced. No, we got separated.
You're such an interesting character.
7 months after our marriage.
Wow.
Our $30,000 Palm Springs marriage. Like our big.
$30,000?
That's a cheap wedding.
Yeah, that's
by the
a
way.
Cheap wedding. Yeah.
But still, it looked amazing.
Paul was like way more than that.
Wow. Yeah.
If you get married at like Brooklyn Botanic Gardens, it's like $1 million.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Just fucking elope.
Yeah.
Jesus. Well, I wanted to get into your other marriage, but I want to ask, you dropped a bomb while I was dropping a piss. You were molested, you were saying.
Yeah.
And Corinne was like, Christina, are you going to love this? Diddled. And we were having this conversation about how like a lot of people were like, mm-hmm. and I think it's more people were than weren't, it seems, based off of just who I know. It's wild.
And I think men are less likely to speak out about it, but a ton of men were molested.
Yeah. And it's got to fuck you up for so many reasons, but the whole like masculinity part of it, I wonder, it's like a totally separate mind fuck. So
I've actually absorbed the entire Greek ethos of it, that it was just an exchange of energy. I have no shame whatsoever.
I was like, really? Wow.
I loved it.
Teach us your ways.
No, it was like kind of mild as far as sexual abuse goes, I think.
Yeah, well, there's, it was it like, can be.
You know, just like an older babysitter. The thing that was like,
was it
really
a male or female?
Male. Wish it was. If it was a female, I would have just told people I hooked up with my babysitter. But,
right, masculinity.
It was like a older babysitter. He was like 15. I was like 8. But the thing that was traumatic about it was I was in a body cast because I had broken my femur.
Oh, my God, Andy.
Oh, your femur. Ouchies.
But it was really just like exposure, like exposing himself to me.
Oh, you couldn't move because you were in a body cast.
Then wanting to see me, you know, my dick. I was about to be like genitals.
That's what the therapist says.
I'm also concerned that you were in a body cast and your mom was like, I'm gonna leave this 15-year-old boy with you.
There's so, I mean, if we go back through the 80s and 90s and see
that's
who
Rocky,
was actually
huh?
babysitting people.
Right.
I mean,
wow.
There's so many felons that were once babysitters.
Yes, that's true.
But I didn't even have any like second thought about it when I was a kid. Well, when I was like that, when it happened, I wasn't ashamed. I wasn't
right.
Whatever. But when I broke my leg, I was in the hospital for about a month. And then I was in the body cast for about 2 months. And I got this real like bad hypochondria. Where is that what it is? Like where you're scared
of. Afraid of being sick?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was during the AIDS crisis.
Oh,
and so
fuck.
I heard something about like how you got AIDS. And I was like, how did I get AIDS? How did I get AIDS? And then I was like, oh, that thing happened. And so then I told my parents because I was like.
About the babysitter exposing himself.
So that you were exposed to a dick and then you had
AIDS? You got AIDS?
Well, like he exposed himself. I think I had to touch his dick at some point. Not like jerk him off or anything.
But like just like.
There was contact.
Oh, okay.
You know.
Yeah. Okay.
So I was just like, I have AIDS.
And when he asked you to look at his dick or expose his dick or touch it, whatever, did you have like a pit in your stomach or were you like, okay, that's weird?
I think I probably thought it was cool because I was like a kid and you know, you're like just about to like kind of learn that stuff about yourself. And so it's like, and he also wasn't that much older. It wasn't an old man. So I was probably like, whoa, cool. You have all that stuff going on, you know,
Right.
And he was like, he went to a Catholic school that was like very dubious. I think there was some sexual abuse there. I'm sure.
At 15, if he's doing that, Jesus.
And then later on, I saw him when I was about 24.
Interesting.
And I was like, I had like a quick thing where I was like, oh, I should kill this person right now.
Wow.
And then I looked at him a little bit longer and I realized that he was like, he looked like he was on drugs, like addicted. Aww. And he also looked like he was maybe some kind of gay sex worker. And it just, I was just like completely filled with empathy for him in that moment. Yeah. 'Cause I was just like, oh, this is like not your fault basically.
Right.
Yeah. And also I'm fine. You know, I don't need to hate you. Like
you don't feel like you carried anything from that experience with you, like negatively into sexual experiences or. I'm not like trying to lead it because
I don't think you totally cannot.
Like some people totally don't.
I think that I carried a little bit of a like sex has kind of a gravity to it, but I can't tell if that's from that because like then there's like this, there was like charges were pressed. And,
I was going to say when you told
your parents. Yeah.
Yeah. And then they agreed to like drop the charges if there was counseling and things like that.
Okay.
But.
So he admitted to it and he knew.
I think he didn't actually admit to it, but they didn't want to go to court anyways. Cause it's like he lived like 5 blocks from us.
Okay.
So they didn't want it to be a thing.
Right.
But.
Jeez.
Also, my mom was like a Lamaze teacher, very open about sex stuff. I think my dad was too, but we didn't really talk about that stuff because by the time I was old enough, he was already on the East Coast. But there was like a thing where it was like your first time should be important, you know? Like,
sure.
I'm raised by like all women and gay men. So it's like I'm kind of brought up to like hyper respect women. Not that I always did.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Did you disrespect women?
I mean, I'm sure, you know.
Okay.
I remember, but I mean, I'll tell you, like, I tried to disrespect women, but my sister's like aggressive, kind of butch lesbian.
Okay.
I remember one time I was like rapping something, some gangster rap lyric near her, and she like punched me in the nose and then spit loogies on my face.
Ew.
And was like, you will never use that language about women again. And I was like, yes, yes, ma'am.
Oh, wow. Okay. Okay.
So yeah, I think I carried definitely some shame around it.
Right.
But I think with sex stuff, it was more like, this is important. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it is.
Yeah.
Sex is like the closest you're going to get with another person. It's important, but it's not. It's like, it's whatever you want it to be, really.
You should wait till somebody shits their pants with you. No, I'm kidding.
Maybe I should. Maybe for once, it's not me.
Did you talk about getting molested in therapy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a funny thing, too, is like all these guys are like, I'm starting to go to therapy. I'm going to figure it out. I've been going to therapy since I was like 7.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was that your idea or your parents' idea?
Parents first. And then as I became an adult, it was just always better.
Man, that's good. Then it took with you. My ex was in therapy when he was a kid and it did not work.
Ooh. Well, I don't think it worked in a lot of ways. I mean, I have been fucked up on and off. Because it's just, you know, depression, being an addict, things like that.
Yeah.
But it's there's like a term in sobriety, 12-step, where it's like you go where you're bleeding. You know what I mean? So that's like 12-step talk. So like, are you having a lot of problems with debt? You should maybe go to a 12-step about that. Or you're having sex with people anonymously. Maybe you should go to that. And for me, it's just like, oh, I'm acting like a fucking weirdo. So I should go to a therapist and figure this shit out. Like, for instance, I'm thinking about faking my own death while I'm in the greatest job I've ever had and my life is pretty good.
Fucked. No, I think now you're making me think I should bring that up in therapy because I think about faking my own death all the time, too.
I mean, it's definitely interesting.
I thought everyone did that.
It's an enticing option. Honestly, it's fun. I don't think about faking my own death, but now I will.
I mean, I would love an opportunity to disappear.
Just go rogue.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. It makes sense with where we're at in society. It's exhausting and it feels like everyone's opinions are being thrown at you and it's hard to manage.
I only have 2 family members standing in the way between me and faking my own death.
Damn.
Are
they
so
elderly
close.
Or on the edge?
Nah.
If they had some kind of chronic disease, you'd be off the hook.
Are they on the edge? That's what I'm going to call my mom ages and be like, girl, you're on the edge.
Yeah. What are her vitamin levels?
Were you in therapy when you were doing all the drunk, you know, car driving and jail stuff? Or did you take a break during that time?
I think I went back after that. Mm.
Yeah. Okay. But you weren't like in therapy as that was happening.
No, I think I was like, in like the middle of high school, I'd seen a therapist that I really liked and had kind of gotten me to a place where I got my act together and things like that. And then things got really good and right. life got busy. I moved. And so then I stopped seeing him. And then like when I went to college, I spent 2 years in Tahoe trying to like pursue a skiing career.
Whoa.
And then I came back to Washington to go to college. And that's when I got in like all that trouble.
Uh-huh.
And then I was like, oh, I should go see that guy again because I'm like getting arrested every time.
Doc, come back.
I had no idea you were arrested so many times. How
What's it like being in jail?
I only had to
Well, you were in like drunk driver jail, so you were like the overnight.
Yeah, so that first time was like pretty funny because I just was like drunk and not like I didn't know the consequences of it. So I was just like, hey, whatever, man. I'm just happy to be alive. Did you see my mom's car? That shit's fucked. And then I just like made fun of all the other drunk people because it was all these like Eastern Washington University students that were like crying because they got put in the drunk tank. And I was like, sorry, I had to burp. and then one time I was at a bar in Lake Tahoe and there was a guy, I was very drunk, and there was a black guy at the bar, and I was so drunk that I went up to him and I was like, hey man, it's so nice to see a black person here. Cause it was like the middle of the mountains, right?
Right.
And my friends were like, get him away from this guy. Like this is, you know, and I'm embarrassed about this. I'm not trying to say this was like a good idea.
Right.
But then I went to this house party and with a bunch of people from that bar, and I heard one of the guys use the N-word about that guy.
Oh,
and so
that's where you step in.
So I started to punch that guy.
Okay.
And I got kicked out of the house party.
Well, glad you punched him.
And then I got arrested trying to walk home from that party because I was
you can't walk on the highway.
Well, I was in a t-shirt in the snow too.
Oh, okay.
And I was banging
that's
on
not
people's
illegal.
Doors.
Oh, that is.
Because I was...
That's illegal. Yeah.
But then so I'm blackout drunk. I get arrested. I even do the thing in the back of the cop car where I take my legs, my hands under my feet so that I can put them in front of me again because, you know, they handcuff you behind.
Right.
And then I wake up in jail with the black guy from the bar.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Were you like,
this is a real beautiful story.
Like, you don't know what I did for you, bro.
Wow. Yeah, I'm sure he was very thankful.
No.
Why was he in jail?
Probably for being black rural county.
Oh, yeah. I was like, what the hell did this guy do?
Yeah, I think he said he was like sleeping in his car actually why he got arrested.
Yeah, that is illegal, but no one, white people get arrested for shit like that.
No.
Yeah.
Actually, like half of the people in the mountains are sleeping in their car to ski the next day.
Yeah, that's wild. Okay. Did your mom ever get down on you or criticize you for any of this stuff?
Well, my mom's such a people pleaser that she would do things like she would be like, you need to quit drinking. Like, you have a problem with drinking. And also, I bought you a six pack and it's in the fridge. You know what I mean?
She was enabling you. Yeah.
Yeah. She definitely wanted to be liked. You know, that's her whole thing.
Even when you wrecked her whole car, like, she didn't get pissed?
I'm sure she was pissed. But I think she was also like, I don't know, more concerned and glad that I was okay.
Wow. We had different childhoods.
Damn.
There was that was the thing about my childhood is there was no discipline.
No repercussions.
Almost whatsoever.
Wow. Okay.
Okay.
Like I didn't get in a ton of trouble in the sense that like I acted out. I did things when I drank or I would fuck up with a friend. I mean, it was like mainly like Goonies type of mischief.
Yeah, right.
We'd break in to like an old waterfall facility so that we could like find the power plant or something like that. And then we'd get arrested.
Right.
But there was no discipline. Like I signed myself up for SAT tutoring. I did all of my college applications, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. You had to lead the charge.
They paid for everything, but there was no like, you need to get your shit together.
Right.
You had to be that for yourself.
You That's seem good. So calm now, though. And I think I noticed that about a lot of sober people. There's like a real calmness. So how do you go, like, obviously, besides therapy and getting sober, how do you go from like this chaotic lifestyle to being calm? Like, are you bored?
No, I'm definitely not bored, although I'm restless.
Yeah. How do you deal with that, man?
I just do like 1,000 things a day, you know?
Really?
Like, I'm constantly cleaning something or paying a bill or organizing something or anything like that.
In motion.
Yeah.
Is it still like, do you still feel like it's a daily thing? Like,
Yeah,
sobriety, you have to like be with yourself every second of the day.
Yeah, because I mean, it's like if I let my mind roam, I'm looking up flights to Krakow, Poland, so that I can join the Ukrainian resistance.
Right, which is admirable, but you know, you got other shit to do.
Huh? Okay. Why did your first marriage end?
Well, because honestly, I think that we met and we were both doing comedy and it was exciting and fun. We got along. And then it was like kind of, it was Brooklyn. It was 2010. And it was like, now we're going to like live together and play house.
So
and
you were in your 20s at the time?
I was 28.
Okay.
I think 27 or 28.
Okay.
And then it was like, oh, we're going to play house and then we're going to move to LA because that's fun. And now, oh, now we're engaged. So now we have a wedding to plan. And it was just like each of these things was like kind of like a milestone, you know, like something to work towards, something to kind of pretend that we're adults, you know, give us some focus. And then we got married and we weren't planning on having kids. And it was like, oh, wait, now what?
Like what's the next milestone?
And we didn't have anything.
And that's when you realize, wait, I don't like you that much.
Well, we both got successful at the same time, too. Like I got a TV writing job. She was on Girl Code.
Oh, perfect.
And getting other acting jobs. And she was like, you know, both of us were like kind of like fine not seeing each other for extended amounts of time.
That's so funny.
Because you didn't really want to hang out with each other.
Yeah. And I was totally trying to bag somebody on my sitcom.
Oh, like, wow.
And she
bag someone.
This is what I love about
you're so
you.
Romantic.
Like it's like you don't like the things that come out of your mouth doesn't seem like that's what's going to come out of your mouth when you sit down.
I know. And honestly, I think it hurts me because
yeah,
I think people like me. They go, oh, this is like a nice, safe person. And then I'm like, she had a real messy twat. And then they're like, wait, why did you say that?
Yeah.
We it's liked you.
Very unexpected. It's very unexpected.
Yeah. I'm not proud of it.
Did you succeed in bagging the person on your sitcom?
No, because I am honestly the king. I am probably like the greatest person at not acknowledging like signs that somebody wants to go to
really?
Bed with you. Oh my God. I've
even when you were actively pursuing?
Yes. I'm so
God, guys are really dumb to this
I was
shit.
So dumb.
But you're not. You all are.
I would go to this girl's house and I would smoke her out. Like I would always be like, hey, you want to smoke? And she'd be like, yeah, come over. And she was a mess too. But like supermodel pretty. And she was like, let's go get massages and like, let's get Thai food. And then she was like, after it, she was like,
it's like a stoner's, you went on a stoner's adventure.
Yeah. And she was like, you're funny. And then I was like, well, I should probably go. And it was like, what the fuck am I doing? You know, like I look back on it now and she was like the one time she was hitting on me. And there's like a million other stories where somebody was sitting on me and then I was like, I should probably go to bed.
Or, wow. You know. Well, is that you not knowing that it's happening or is that you running away from it?
It's like a little bit of being scared, but also
like choosing to be ignorant to it in a way.
But I think a couple times, like I remember this one time, this girl, I went on a date with her. This is like really, I was like 23 and we went out and I like spent my only money so I could take her to a fancy restaurant.
Oh.
And then she was like, I really want to come over, but I have like an early morning. And then I was like, well, all right, I'll see you next time. And then it was like, she never talked to me again because she just wanted to have sex. And, you know, she didn't give a shit. Like,
right.
She wasn't trying to do the whole romantic thing.
Oh, yeah, I guess. Yeah.
But with my marriage, one morning we woke up. We got married in like February. And then one morning in like August, we woke up and it was like really early. And my wife leaned over and she was like, what would you think about like having an open marriage? And in my mind, I'm trying to bag this girl on the show. And I'm like, this is so easy. Yeah, that's great. And then we didn't talk about it anymore.
I hope a lot of the listeners are really, really turning up the volume because this is a constant problem to get in our emails.
Yep. Yes, this is like, I think.
I'll pretend to like this thing that I don't actually want to get into.
Quintessential. But this is how so many open marriages end where you go, yeah, that sounds great. And so that now I'm in an open marriage and I go, this is going to be awesome. And I go and I like hit on like an acquaintance and I'm like, hey, you want to hang out? And they're like, you're married. And I'm like, I know, but like, it's one thing if you're sexy as fuck to be in an open
relationship. Right.
But if you're just like handsome and like decent boyfriend material, nobody's like, oh, I would love
fuck that guy.
Yeah. I want to casually fuck that guy and have him not be emotionally committed to me at all.
Right.
That sounds
like,
great.
What's in it for me?
Yeah.
Right.
Wow.
And so I'd go and they'd be like, I know your wife. Like, go away. And so I go to my ex-wife and I'm like, I don't like this.
Me.
Yeah. I mean, I think I said it like, I don't like how this makes me feel. But really it was, nobody's trying to have sex with me. And she was like, well, I have a boyfriend.
Oh.
fuck.
And that's Polly, bitch.
Yeah, I was like,
that ain't open.
Yeah, I was like, we're having boyfriends?
Thanks for giving me the memo.
Can you stop? And she was like, nah, I think this monogamy thing is kind of stupid. And I was like, we just got married.
Wow.
And I remember like a week before I'd been like telling all my friends, I was like, she wants to be open, dude. This is awesome. And they were all
it's
like,
my ticket.
Great. Yeah. Like, good. You're awesome. And then I don't know, like a month later we were separated.
Fuck.
Yeah.
And then is separation legal or do you have to separate it as just like,
well, you can legally separate, which means that you retain some of the like rights of a marriage, like taxes or things like that. But we just didn't talk for like a year. And then we kind of like, we're like, let's be friendly and
DIY separation,
process our divorce.
Okay. Yeah. How much is a divorce?
How much?
Yeah.
Oh, it was simple because I didn't want anything of her. She didn't want anything of mine.
Perfect. Okay. So you can't, that is an option.
Some
when people don't want
weird.
Either
we also didn't have anything
right
like property
well because you see signs it's like $500 divorce and like
that's what
I think
I did.
That, yeah I wow. think that's literally like if you just like you just want
hey I just
it.
Want you out of my life
yeah. yeah it's called a dissolution of marriage it means you have no qualms about anything
okay
wow you
know? So except that you should get a divorce yeah
right
yeah
and then so did you have any interaction during that year
yeah
and did you, was there any resolution or closure that you found?
I'm still friends with her.
Oh,
wow. Yeah.
We're not as friendly as we used to be because I used to live in LA and I'd see her a lot.
Right. And you guys both have separate lot, you know.
And maybe. She also, I mean, she bugs me sometimes. Like I'm like, I like see a post that she puts up and I'm like, oh God, that like reminds me of this, you know.
Because it's like she's doing well or because she's being, there's an attribute about her that you don't like.
She's got some savior stuff going on. You know, she's very politically involved and you know, things
oh,
like
no.
that.
Oh
sometimes.
No, was she the one who did the poem to Putin, if I was your mother?
No.
Did you marry Annalyn McCord?
No, I would though.
Bitch.
She's beautiful, but.
Yeah, but my
no,
God.
No. I definitely went after some chicks like that. That's a very easy period to have in your LA experience.
Oh, what? Like try to get the hot chick?
No, like I mean, there's like a million Venice Beach personal chef yoga teachers.
Yeah, right.
That you
right.
eventually have to date at some point if you've
you
been on
feel
Raya.
Like your taste is different in LA versus New York?
I honestly like people like have types and tastes and things like that. I really don't think I had much of that. Like I never really, it was just if I vibed with you and
right.
was attracted to you, you know?
So if you're so bad at knowing when people want to fuck you, how did you know that Rosebud wanted to fuck you?
Cause it's Rosebud. Rosebud doesn't
she
have
just
any.
Just said, I want to fuck you. I mean, because I kind
she?
Of know this story. I mean, it's not fresh in my mind anymore, but because like we were recording a podcast together at that time, so I was really getting firsthand accounts of it.
It was literally like we had started hanging out a lot with Gavin Matz.
Right.
Like we would all three go to dinner and stuff, and I had her do my podcast at the time. And
did you have an ulterior motive?
No. I was just like,
okay.
I mean, I will say that there's like a famous for me. picture, and I think some other male comics would probably acknowledge this picture, but it was like we always thought of like Rosebud as like a hoodie, tough little buddy.
This is an infamous photo. She said it changed the way people thought about
her.
Yeah,
and then she just posted this bikini pic in this yellow bikini from Mexico, and I literally was like, what the fuck? Like, you know.
Undercover, yeah. Undercover hottie.
For me, I thought it was the one piece black and white suit. Maybe there was two.
I mean, I'm sure there's multiple.
Because I'm always
begging. Was that when she was on vacation?
Some like in Mexico.
Like and I was like, yeah, she was on with a previous partner.
No, this was with her
family.
Because I remember that one. I was like, if you guys sold a calendar, I would buy it.
Yeah.
Look at them. I was always begging her to send nudes.
Yeah, she would never. She was never really like leading with that.
No.
Anyways, we became closer and closer, and it was really the three
but
of us.
But it was that
this
photo,
weird bikini photo,
that
yeah.
really cinched
really
itself
made
in Angie.
I never forgot it.
I have to be platonic friends with this woman.
I should invite her on my podcast. I should invite her on my podcast.
Well, also, I was friends with her ex, so it felt very taboo.
Right.
You know?
Sure.
I just
ooh, that's more fun though. Sometimes.
That bathing suit photo, cut it down.
That bathing suit photo. And I was like, who needs friends, you know?
Yeah, right, right.
Have you seen those?
How quickly we change. How quickly.
But anyways, she we went to this wedding. We both went to Dan St. Germain's wedding, and we had kind of flirted, but it was never obvious.
Sure.
You know, we weren't like DMing or flirting a lot. It was always kind of around like a meetup or something that happened. And then we danced like all night, like idiots. Like it was just the two of us. And then I drove her home and we like talked about all this life stuff. And she would say, like, I think she said at one point during that car ride, she was like, would you ever date a comic again? And I was like, that's a weird question for you to ask.
Not if she wants to date you.
I constantly ask people that because I just don't know why the answer is no. And male comedians love saying
they love making rules for themselves.
Every male comedian will say they don't date female comedians.
Yeah.
And then they will try to fuck the closest female comedian to them.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Don't fall for that.
You heard it first, folks.
And if they say they don't date, it's because they're not trying to have a commitment or they don't want to fuck you, you know?
Right.
Definitely
don't want to date you.
I definitely turn down people with that lie.
And you just didn't want to actually be with
yeah,
them.
Like, I'm sorry. I don't date
you just
people
don't like
in
them.
My field. And then the next week I'd be dating another comic.
Right, like, right, right. Oh, well, you know, that speaks to my theory of like, if you wanted it badly enough, you'd go after it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know why I can't date somebody who has the same exact hours as me. And I can completely understand my schedule and needs. And then we went and saw a movie with Gavin. We went and saw Parasite and we all walked home.
You were in a polyamorous relationship with Gavin.
Yes. Gavin is still in our throuple.
Yeah.
And then, she texted me and she was like, I wish we could have kept hanging out. And I was like, oh, I'll see if Gavin's still around.
Oh, well, no.
Did you fucking really
Andy,
say
what
that?
The fuck?
And she goes, no, with you, you idiot.
So what's the notion?
Recoil?
Recoil, yes. When intimacy is laid out on the table.
I honestly just didn't get it at that moment because other women have hit on me and I've been like, let's go, you know.
Mm.
But the second I realized it, I think I said something really lewd to her.
Nice.
I think she was like, I want to hang out with you again. And I said, I want to wear you like a gas mask.
Oh.
And then she was like, let's go.
Wow. Nice.
That's how you tapped into her love language.
Yeah.
That's
nice.
She's very direct. You know, so
that's nice. No games. That's very
But it's
nice.
Also harmful because like sometimes she'll be telling me about previous relationships and she'll be like, yeah, I don't really dance around it. I told that guy I wanted to fuck and I wanted him to leave. And I'm like, my baby girl, you know.
Right. Are you and you're not as open with talking about past relationships or?
No, I'm completely open, but I was never like cutthroat like that.
Right.
I was like, I would love to take you to a beautiful dinner.
Right.
And kiss
right.
you on
Spent
the third
all your money.
Date.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
Did you remember your first romantic date with her or did you have one?
I mean, I think that wedding was kind of like our first. It was very sweet. We like didn't go together, you know.
I'm recently starting to understand that butterflies, when a guy like gives you butterflies, that's actually anxiety. And that's like not good. Like you don't
really
want to, like, walk towards it. Right. So when you're in love enough to be married, well, at least with this marriage, because it wasn't like you're both sober. So you both are kind of present during all of this. Like, what is the feeling?
Well, honestly, I had no intention of having a serious relationship at that time. And then I was spending so much time with Rosebud, but I was also kind of like flirting with the idea. Like I'd been very free for the first time in a long time. Like I'd been dating and seeing people. And then Rosebud popped up and I was like, this is like, I wanted to be a slut. You know,
right.
Like I really,
it always happens.
I wanted to be a whore, but then the more I got to know her and she basically said to me, she was like, if you don't have interest in having a serious relationship, we're not going to be exclusive.
Right.
And I don't really like to do the dating multiple people thing. And I was like,
well, she's very direct.
This is like, I really like her. I love her. And if I don't commit to this, I think I'm going to be missing like a huge, this sounds weird to say, but opportunity.
Sure.
Like,
yeah.
In the sense of like a partner and like a life and things like that. And so I was like, let's do it. Like, I'd been laid before. It's not like I needed that. I was sober enough to be like, I think I've been laid enough and had enough like
in your lifetime
casual sex to know that like this is much more important.
Yeah.
And it was just like, I've always had this idea about like long-term relationships, especially marriage, is that like 50% of marriages work, whether they're organic, like you meet somebody and fall in love, or arranged.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And wow. So I was always like, that means like you kind of have, you're going to have to work just as hard.
Yeah.
Like, sure. So,
and you have to be intentional.
Yeah.
Imagine.
Yeah. And she's like sober and wise and really taught me a lot about how to carry myself as far as like, not just a comic, but just like with my sobriety and things like that. Like, it was somebody who I'd already committed, but then I like learned that like this is like a person who's gonna like advocate on behalf of me.
Yeah, it's a real partnership.
Yeah. And so like I think at first when I committed, I was like, well, you know, we'll get married eventually. And then the more and more I got to know her and her family and just like the things that happened. And then the pandemic happened and it was like, well.
Yeah, because you got proposed? You got engaged within a year. Right?
We got engaged
like
5 months in.
Yeah. Wow. It was really, yeah.
Yeah. I think I kind of knew. I was just like,
did she know you were going to propose or like, did you talk about it?
It's so annoying.
Oh, she did? Oh. Okay.
It's so annoying. Wait, what happened?
Because we had talked about it and then I talked to her mom, like asked her mom how she felt about it because I hadn't really met her dad yet. So I didn't feel like doing the ask her dad thing.
Yeah.
And also, they wanted to use an heirloom, like a family heirloom ring for the engagement.
She had already, Rosebud had told you that they wanted to use this or the mom told you?
They both kind of coached me through this.
Whoa,
they
were like, interesting.
Here's some rings that maybe could become useful to you.
Okay, so enough hints were dropped.
That's really,
that
really
it was
funny.
Safe for you to propose.
Yeah, it was like negotiated almost. And then.
Wow.
And then I, it was like the third day of quarantine or pandemic kind of lifestyle in LA. And I got takeout and I put the ring in one of the takeout boxes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was the whole ring an heirloom or was part of it like the
whole thing?
Wow.
It's like she's got some family rings that are just like Gatsby kind of
Jesus.
Tiffany platinum.
That saves thing. You a lot of money though. That's
I
fucking
was
awesome.
So, I was
Christ.
Like, let's
yeah,
do
it's
it.
Amazing. Oh, like, perfect.
At that time
this
of my life,
on the table.
My 3 months of income
would
have been
give me that
like,
ring for free, know, baby. Woo, and it means a lot.
The bear from Ben Bridges. That's what I've been proposing with.
But wait, so but to know enough 5 months in to confidently propose and know that, you know, and then say yes and then get married, what is that feeling? Like when you...
But yeah, I don't think you know.
Well, because I actually wrote... That's interesting that you bring that up, Christina, because one of the topics that we didn't get to on our intro for this week, but that I wrote in my phone and that I was thinking about a lot this week was the concept of when you know, you know. Everyone always says that. And I go, I've thought I've known 1,000 times and then sometimes I don't know. It's like, what does that even fucking mean? And did you feel that either time? Or any time.
I think I thought I felt it my first time getting married. Like I was just like so in the kind of like very much like treating it like an addiction. The rush
right.
of these
sure.
like milestones and this kind of playing house. But with Rosie, it was like, I don't know, but I know enough that like I know that if everything with my sobriety and everything else in my life like takes a day at a time and that makes this like function well, then like why can't I like just like I knew that Rosie was special and I, you know, I still don't know if we'll be, you know, cause what we don't know what happens to people. Like
sure.
she could easily get sick of my shit and, you know, be like, I gotta go. But so I definitely just treat it with that. Like, I know that this is like something I'm willing to work on, you know,
right.
and things like that. That's what I
need. In the moment. You're in the moment with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's easy to like, I just think it's the idea of like soulmates and true love and all these things. I think that's like nice and it's romantic, but it's also probably codependency and love addiction and all these other kind of things that we've like made pretty.
Well, so then do you not feel true love with Rosebud?
Oh, of course I do. I feel
so
true love.
So you do. So it is real.
But I mean like the idea that like, and also, I mean,
there's
like,
only one. Yeah.
Or relying on one person to fulfill all your needs. I mean, that's codependent.
I mean, I just think it's like a lot of people like use those things to kind of gaslight themselves. You know
gaslight
what I mean?
Themselves, yeah.
But I definitely had, I looked across Dan's wedding and I saw Rosie and it was like, that was the only person I wanted to see. And mm-hmm. I have basically been with her since that day.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I think I'm also jaded because I've been divorced and I've had
right.
heartbreak and things like that, you know?
Yeah. Do you
feel like you thought you felt true love multiple times before. But it's like, I also think it's like, we have the concept that true love, it needs to be everlasting. And it doesn't, because right. I've had true love before. But
yeah, true love was the wrong thing to say. I've had true love, but I mean like-
The soulmate thing
or the constant love question. At first sight yeah. or like- Also, that's a big thing. Like, there's definitely people I've had great relationships with right. and it didn't work out. And yeah, I'm not yeah. mad that it happened or that it's over.
Right. You know. Got to experience it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. Soulmates is always a toss-up. Like, I actually do feel like it's kind of weird because I also kind of have a jaded perspective, which I call based in reality, but whatever. but I actually do feel like people have... Or like for me that I have a soulmate, but I just think that it is not necessarily always a romantic partnership. I don't know mine yet. It could like literally like be comedy or something.
I don't even mean to say that like to poo-poo on.
No.
On
you can feel however you want to feel.
I said poo-poo. I should have said shit. Like a man. But
you're such a girl.
I know, dude. Jeez. I'm so female. I gotta like pound a polar and smash it against my head. No, I you know, I think those things exist. And I think that like everything is proving that Rosebud is my soulmate. But sure. I think going into with this idea, I just think it like sets people up a lot to like not be able to deal with conflict in their yeah. relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's like, well, what do you, and also to not ask themselves what they want out of a partnership, like a partner in life. It's like, you want somebody to make life more tolerable, more enjoyable, more pleasant, and to push you, and, you yeah. know, or whatever you want. It doesn't have
someone
to
who makes you not want to fake your own death.
Exactly. Yeah, that's all we're looking for.
Exactly.
So you have a special out. You want to promote that?
Yeah, my special comes out this Friday. I don't know when this will drop, but it's 3:11. So you keep it original.
Yeah.
I love that. I was like a big 3:11 fan back in the day.
When I was 6 months sober, I went to the 3:11. Like I got hired to do comedy on the 3:11 cruise.
Whoa.
That's so cool.
That's fucking yeah. cool.
They were really nice. I didn't like any of the music, but they were very nice. We went to Jamaica. It was great wow. for somebody recently who quit weed.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I bet.
Incredible. I bet. And where can we find you on the internets?
It's just, everything's, I think, I'm Andy Haynes.
There you go.
The conjunction.
Make
not
it simple.
I am.
Go listen to the album now.
Oh, and listen to my podcast that I do with Rosie.
Yeah.
Find Your Beach.
Find Your Peach?
Beach.
Beach.
But Find Your Peach is kind of hot.
Find Your Peach. Find Your Beach.
Find Your Beach, like Corona, yeah?
Find Your Beach.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And sorry, say the special one more time because we started talking about other things.
It's The Coward of Gramercy.
Right.
And it's on YouTube.
That's what we need to know.
The Coward yeah. of Gramercy. Love it.
And it's on your personal YouTube channel?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so guys, more fucking
watch
free
these
content.
Free specials. Wow.
You're going to be on YouTube anyway watching our special day if you haven't already. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to head over and watch Andy's special and enjoy it. Andy's a great joke writer. Very, very fucking fun. So I highly recommend that.
What's yay. Okay. Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys.
Honestly, it's our own studio and sometimes I don't know which camera I'm looking at. Sometimes I look at the side one. But anyway, thank you so much, Andy.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, this has been great. Guys, We Fucked, the anti-slut shaming podcast. We'll talk to you next Friday. Guys, We Fucked is presented by Luminary.
Created and hosted by Corinne Fisher and Christina Hutchinson.
Editing and music coordination by Mike Coscarelli. Theme song by Rob Patterson and Jake Kozen.
Suck my wet ass pussy.
Christina said to cut that before, but now it's in there.
Yeah, let's keep it. Who cares?
We used to dance together, but alone. I feel better than with. We used to dance together, but alone. I feel better than with. Feels like I broke through. Darkness turns to golden light. Didn't think I'd make it through the night. Make it through the make it. I light all of the candles in my room. Take care of myself instead of you.
my style and I cut my hair and I dance around the kitchen bare. I change my style and I cut my hair and I dance around the kitchen bare. I change my style and I cut my hair and I dance around the kitchen bare. I change my style and I cut my hair and I dance around the kitchen bare.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.